Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
Okay. Holy Ghost, help. It's all I can say is help. Help us. Help me. Help me to release this word today. And I pray protection right now over the minds and the hearts, Lord, of everyone listening to this. I bind right now you, Leviathan, you foul spirit of pride. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I declare the victory of my lamb, my beautiful lamb. I declare his victory over you. I declare his victory in the lives of these loved ones. And I pray that if anyone is listening to this and they are fearful, ungodly fear, demonic fear comes over them, Lord, that you would flood their heart today with your precious, precious love. And that you would turn that fear into reverence for the Lamb. Jesus, you are the Lamb. You are the soon coming King, but you're the precious Lamb, the gentle Lamb, the giving Lamb. Help us never to forget. And I pray, Lord, if there's any roots or connections or cords to the world in these loved ones' lives that needs to be severed, that you would help them, that they would be able to release the sword of the Lord against those things that war against your destiny for their life and your purpose, and that they would never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I'm attempting to complete a series called Understanding the End Times. And I know those of you who have sat under my leadership for many years understand that I don't follow trends. And we do celebrate the resurrection and the crucifixion of our Lamb, Jesus. And during this time of year, we're looking at the blood. We're looking at the sacrifice of Jesus. We're looking at all of those things. And it's always very tempting for me to go with, you know, a Lent series or something that's relevant for this time. But I learned a long time ago to listen to the Holy Spirit and to follow his direction. And so I prayed about this, and of course, Lord, is this too heavy for right now? And he said, it's not too heavy, it's the word that needs to be released. And my people who are coming in right now sense by my spirit, because I'm doing this sovereignly in their life and in their heart, they sense the urgency of the hour. And don't dumb them down, they can handle this. They need to know what is on the horizon. And he has shared with me that many churches have not been listening. They don't have a clue. They're just in some kind of like series rollout. You know, this is my plan for the year, and this is what I'm going to preach and all of that. And there's value, always value in the word of God, but the Lord is pressing right now. If you listen to the intercessors, the one that really have their finger on the pulse of the Holy Spirit and are listening to the Father, it's all out there. He's coming. He's coming soon. And the great cry of the Lord, the Spirit is saying, is he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. And there's this big conversation with the churches that the Spirit is having. And it's right here at this place in time. And those conversations that he's having are both a commendation and a rebuke. A rebuke is a father saying, stop doing that. Don't keep doing that. Time is short and that's of no value. Stop it. Take a look at what you've been engaged in. And these are the good things I want you to keep, and these are the bad things I want you to get rid of. And, you know, I want you to fill your lamps with oil. I want you to return to the place of intimacy. I want you to have the oil of intimacy in this hour. I want you to be so in awe of me and so in oneness with me that the world loses its value and its desire, your desire for it. And I know that God is speaking to many of you because that is where we are. It's not a condemnation. He's not condemning us. He's just saying you're better than that. I don't want you involved in that world system where everything is about money and drugs and, you know, sex and all of that. Sex is a good thing. God gave it to us. But outside of, you know, the Lord's plan for us, it isn't good. Money is something that he gives to us. But when we put that as our number one priority, that's not good. When we sell our soul for these things, when we compromise our values for these things, that isn't good. And so he begins to talk to John and show John in the book of Revelation after these seven bowls of judgment are starting to be opened. Now, I believe the church is in heaven, but the message still needs to go out right now because many people have not given their heart to the Lord and become part of the bride of Christ. So we need to see what's on the other side of the rapture because that is our assignment. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Church, this is our assignment. We can't live for only ourselves. There needs to be a sense of urgency that, oh my God, this is going to happen to my family if they're still on the earth. This is going to happen to my employees if they're still on the earth. This is going to happen to many who are in the cold cultural so-called church that what we call the harlot church if they're still on the earth. And there's so many that are deceived. They don't know they're deceived because they're deceived. But I believe the Lord is he's pulling back the veil right now. And he's giving us an opportunity to speak raw truth. Many of you have felt that, like in the past, you couldn't say that. Maybe that was too harsh, but there's this sense of that's pure and that's raw, and I can say this right now because there's an opening for people to hear it. And so I want to just talk to my family this morning and to the church and to whoever will listen to me, even if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, once you look around and maybe you can see some of the symbolism, but this thing called the world, that the Bible refers to it as Babylon. It's also referred to as, you know, the great harlot. And you have these two females, entities at the end of the age, the bride of Christ, which we know is the body of Christ, the church. And then you have the great harlot, which is a counterfeit of the bride. And we want to make sure that we are the bride of Christ. There are many that are part of the great harlot church, and they use the name of Jesus, but they engage in the profanities and all of these things that are going to be listed here. And I want to just say this, that simultaneously, while this, it's called the Doom of Babylon, she has a name, the Bride of Christ is the Bride of Christ, and the Bride of Satan, the great harlot, is called Babylon. And this is not necessarily a city, but it is a system. And she has an end. The bride has an eternity. She has an end on this earth, but she has an eternity with her king. And the bride of Satan also has an eternity, but she has an end on the earth. And they're going to end two different ways. And so John begins to see the last of the seven bowls being poured out. And I went over those. If you want to know what they are and they're horrific, go back and listen to that message. It's been a month ago when I preached it. But these bowls of judgment are going to start to be poured out on the earth. The church has been raptured. And the first 3.5 years of this time after the church is raptured out of here is going to turn into absolute hell on earth. It's not hell. There's worse coming. But you don't want to be on the earth during this time. John sees it in verse 1 of 17. It says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke to me, saying, here, come here, I will show you the judgment and doom of the great prostitute, the great whore of Babylon, the harlot church, who is corrupt, apostate, satanic, and idolatrous. Now, that I put in there, it is not my own, but it is from the Amplified Classic and another one. I put them all together. So what you see here is, do you guys have that in Revelation 17? The scripture, I'm reading from the Amplified. If not, I'll just keep going, but you guys can listen. He says, I will show you the judgment and the doom of the great prostitute, the great whore of Babylon, the harlot church, the harlot church. So there is the church, the bride, and then there's the harlot church. The bride of Christ will be out of here, but there will still be a church on the earth. And it says, she seated on many waters, influencing nations, she with whom the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality, and the inhabitants of the earth have become intoxicated with the wine of her immorality. And the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was definitely covered with blasphemous, was entirely covered with blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold, precious stones and pearls, and she was holding in her hand a gold cup full of the abominations and the filth of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead, a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes, false religions, heresies, and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, God's people, and with the blood of the witnesses, or the witnesses of Jesus, who were martyred. Now, these are people that have died during the tribulation. When I saw her, I wondered in amazement, but the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw was once, but now is not. And he is about to come up out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, the dwelling place of demons, and go to destruction, perdition. And the inhabitants of the earth, here we go, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because he was and is not and is yet to come to the earth. Here is the mind which has wisdom, and that is what it knows about the vision. The seven heads, and it says it right here, are seven hills on which the woman sits. Let's park. These seven hills, if those of you have been praying and tracking with the prophets in the last two decades, the last 20 years, you've heard a lot of talk about the seven mountains of culture. Media and arts, sports and entertainment, education. Mama Didi has been doing a phenomenal job of covering all of these mountains. The mountain of religion. Okay, this is where also the Church of Jesus Christ, you know, is supposed to possess all these mountains. But what happens is over the years, the body of Christ has become so lukewarm and so worldly that we have lost much of our influence in the high places. And right now we are ascending to those places, and God is pouring out his spirit right now because he's bringing in the billion soul harvest. But when the church is out of here, that whore is going to sit on top of all of those mountains of culture, and the entire world will be under the influence of that harlot church. We need to be praying, and we need to be ascending, because right now we have the potential and the possibility to take positions of political power, to rise up in the education system, to rise up within the church, to rise up within the media, to rise up, and we're praying leaders into those positions. Now, I want to park for just a moment, because some of you who are tracking with things that are happening with technology, things that are happening in science, things that are happening out there, are seeing a rise of blatant satanic ceremonies, blatant satanic involvement in these large political and even national events. One in particular was when they opened a portal in CERN, Switzerland, and this is supposed to be under the guise of scientific advancement for travel and all of that, but they're trying to do more over there than that. What they are doing is they're trying to take the smallest particle in the universe and rotate it and vibrate it so fast that it leaves this realm and goes into another one, so they can bring the demonic here and they can go visit there. At the opening ceremony of this demonic portal, they had a naked woman who rode out on a beast with some scarlet and purple stuff all over her body. She was wearing the Baphomet, which is the goat head, the mascot or the symbol for the satanic church, and she was holding a dead lamb. This was all to say that we have conquered the Lamb. That ought to make your stomach turn. They had people naked that looked genderless. So in other words, we've taken away gender. We've taken away identity. We've taken away all of the things that God ordained. And we've made everybody neutral to worship the woman on the beast. It's out there. And when they were confronted, they said, our humor went too far. But you've got to understand that prime ministers, heads of countries that represent these 10 horns, were all there celebrating. There were blood sacrifices going on. The 10 horns represent the 10 nations that will capitulate in one day to the Antichrist, but they will all fall in 1 hour. You got to understand, don't put your stock and all of everything into this particular system, because it may look like it has all the world's superpowers, but I want to show you how fragile and how absolutely delusional they are. But it's in our face. It's showing up in what was once family television. You can't even turn on the Super Bowl anymore and watch a halftime show and not see this stuff being paraded and pushed into your face. They're parading themselves around, holding crystals while, you know, waving their hands. And if you look closely, they've got demonic symbols. It's all Luciferian, and they're pumping it into our children, and especially in entertainment and media. They think they control the airwaves. They think they control it all. And for a season they will, but it's going to crumble. It's all going to come down. In verse 10 it says, and they are 7 kings, 5 of whom have fallen. One exists and is reigning. The other, the 7th, has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain a little while. And I know that's all mysterious to you, but let's stay with the meat that we can grab right now, okay? Because I don't have time to go prophetically into every single verse. But it says, and the beast that once was is not, and is himself also an 8th king, and is one of the 7, and he goes to destruction, perdition. The 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but together they have received authority as kings, watch this, for a single hour, for a common purpose, along with the beast. These kings have one purpose, one mind, one common goal, and they give their power and authority to the beast. Now watch this. They think they're all hot, large, and in charge. The next subtitle, and I always say pay attention to the subtitles, is victory for the Lamb. I wish I had been there at the opening ceremony of this demonically influenced human being that the Lord loved, riding on this beast, trying to rub this in the face of a generation with her Baphomet head on, I would have stood up and started reading this verse. As she holds a dead lamb on her beast, they wage war against the Lamb, Christ, and the Lamb will triumph and conquer them. Because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him and on his side are called the chosen, elect, and faithful. Then the angel said to me, "The waters which you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the prostitute and will make her desolate and naked, stripped of her power and influence." In fact, the people she influenced are going to turn on her. "And will eat her flesh and completely consume her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to carry out his purpose by agreeing together to surrender their kingdom to the beast until the prophetic words of God will, not might, be fulfilled. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over and dominates and controls the kings and political leaders of the earth." Let's keep going. "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, possessing great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his splendor and radiance. And he shouted with a mighty voice, saying, 'Fallen, fallen, certainly to be destroyed is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a dungeon haunted by every unclean spirit, and a prison for every unclean and loathsome bird.'" Now, after the beast comes in with the woman on it, with the Baphomet head, holding the dead sheep, they send in these people with bird wings on them and falcon bills. Did you see this? They're reenacting this, but what they're saying is, "O Lamb, we are victorious over you. How delusional can you be?" Oh, Lord. Verse 3, "For all the nations have drunk from the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings and political leaders of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth and economic power of her sensuous luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her! Come out of her! My people!'" There will still be some people on the earth that have not bowed yet, that even in that moment are giving their heart to the Lord. And he's saying, "Come out of her, my people." This is not going to be, it's going to be very difficult. But there's still, you see the mercy of God there? There's a last call. Come out of her so that you will not be a partner in her sins and receive her plagues, for her sins, her crimes, her transgressions have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her wickedness and crimes for judgment. Repay to her even as she has repaid others, and pay back to her double her torment in accordance with what she has done. In the cup of sin and suffering which she has mixed, mix a double portion of perfect justice for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and reveled and gloated in her sensuality, living deliciously and luxuriously, to that same degree impose on her torment and anguish and mourning and grief. For in her heart she boasts, 'I sit as a queen on a throne. I am not a widow.' And will never, ever see mourning or experience grief. For this reason, in a single day, her plagues, afflictions, and calamities will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire and completely consumed. For strong and powerful is the Lord God who judges her." And here I have talked about this, but I wanted you to see this in the Word. This is how hard-hearted the people have become. They do not listen nor cry over their sin. They cry over the loss of her. You are either going to cry over your sin or you're going to lament over everything that that demonic spirit gave you. The Bible says that there is pleasure in sin, but it's for a moment, and it's fleeting. But the pleasures that we find in God are for a lifetime. And it says, and the kings and the political leaders of the earth who committed immorality in verse 9 and lived luxuriously with her will weep and beat their chest in mourning over her. When they see the smoke of her burning, standing a long way off in fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city, the strong city Babylon, watch this, in a single hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and grieve over her, because no one buys their cargo, goods, merchandise anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple silk and scarlet. All kinds of citron, scented wood, and every article of ivory, every article of very costly and lavish wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spices and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat of cattle and sheep, of cargoes of horses and chariots and carriages and slaves and human lives. Human lives! These filthy sex traffickers that are making money around the earth. I'm just being raw, guys. You know this is true. People in high positions will travel to some of these nations and commit vile acts on infants, babies. I mean, the filth that's going on and the money that's being exchanged. And we're praying. We're praying as the church, hopefully. We're praying for the rescuing of people out of these vile things. But it's not just that. There's money being traded. There's lives being traded. You can see, you know, even the things that are listed here, cinnamon, spices, incense, and perfume, and all these things, they are for our pleasure. The wine, the oil, these things are all for our pleasure. But whenever we put anything, food, money, lives, anything above God and are willing to sacrifice our soul and compromise our convictions to have these things in our life, we are in a very bad place. Amen. I'm going to finish. It says in verse 14, the ripe fruits and delicacies of your soul's desire have gone from you. In all things that were luxurious and extravagant are lost to you, never again to be found. The merchants who handled these articles, who grew wealthy from their business with her, will stand a long way off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud, saying, woe, woe, for the great city that was robed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, gilded and adorned with gold, with precious stones and with pearls, because in 1 hour, 1 hour, all the vast wealth has been laid waste, and every ship captain or navigator and every passenger and sailor and all who make their living by the sea stood a long way off and exclaimed as they watched the smoke of her burning, saying, what could be compared to the great city? They are still praising this filth. And the churches in heaven laying down their gold, laying down their pearls, laying down their treasures, laying down everything. Tribes and tongues and nations of every color, every social background, everything that this world held of little value and of value, everything in between that said, Jesus, you are second to none. You can have all the world. Give me Jesus. Are in the throne room saying, worthy is the Lamb. He was dead, but he's not being carried by a filthy prostitute harlot church on a beast with his blood dripping on that beast. No, he's in heaven sitting upon the throne, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. He's worthy to open the scroll. He is not judging his church. He is worshiping with his church until he steps through the eastern sky and wraps it all up, and he's grieving over the loss of those who will not come out of her. And instead of repenting in dust and ashes over their filth, in verse 19 it says, and they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe again for the great city. This great system where all who had ships at sea grew rich from her great wealth because in 1 hour she has been laid waste. And here comes the voice of the Lord. Rejoice over her, O heaven. While the earth is weeping over her, the church in heaven is saying, rejoice over her. And you saints, God's people and apostles and prophets who were martyred because God has executed vengeance for you through righteous judgment upon her. Then a single powerful angel picked up a boulder like a great millstone and flung it into the sea, saying, with such violence will Babylon the great be the city be hurled down by the sudden spectacular judgment of God and will never again be found. And the sound of harpists, worship leaders, this one's for you. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flutists and trumpeters will never again be heard in you. And no skilled artisan or any craft will ever be again be found in you. And the sound of the millstone grinding grain will never again be heard in you. For commerce will no longer flourish and normal life will cease. And never again will the light of a lamp shine in you. And never again will the voice of the bridegroom and the bride be heard in you. For your merchants were great and prominent men of the earth because all the nations were deceived and misled by your sorcery. Your magic spells and poisonous charms. There were people that in the old days would get up and walk out on me because I started saying, don't let your children read books with sorcery and all this stuff in it. I don't care how Hollywood packages it up. I don't care. This whole generation is looking for power. They're looking for power in the demonic. They're intrigued with it. They want the magic. They want this and that. They want to rub a crystal and feel better. They want to go meditate somewhere and get a little bit of sorcery going and feel better. This whole, we were wired for power. We were wired for supernatural power. But we are not to go looking for it over there in the demonic. And I'm telling you, I'm never going to water down the message. It isn't for the church. It isn't for your children. It isn't for this hour. It isn't. We've got to come out of her. We got to get out of her. While there's still time, that's encouraging for me because I have led worship. I love to see what God is doing, but I have led worship sometimes for hours, knowing that the battle would be won in worship so someone could walk in that was bound up with stuff they could never get off of their life. And they could walk into the glory and into the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, you guys should appreciate your worship leaders because they fight private battles that you will never know what they go through right now, and especially at the end of the age, to facilitate an awestruck people that will look at Jesus and look for his coming and love his presence and love his word and stay sold out until that such time as he gets us out of here. And I want to say thank you for every man and woman. This house isn't just about a platform group of leaders. In this house, I love the fact that you sing louder than the platform. And this is happening all over the world. God is raising up people right now that will worship him in cornfields, that will worship him in schoolrooms, that will worship him at the bank, that will worship him in the grocery store, that will worship him in the so-called churches, because the sound of worship is rising. It's going to continue once we get in the throne room. And if you don't like it now, you aren't going to like heaven very much. You aren't. Well, I'm going to end here today, I think, because you know what? It's always good to end on a high note. Because you know what happens next? And I'm going to read it to you the next time we get together, should God allow me to follow the plan any further. But Jesus Christ, our Lamb, who isn't dead being carried by the devil, by some harlot church, he don't need the devil to carry him. He carried his own cross. And he defeated the devil at that cross. And the devil will never be able to put his hands on him. Ever. He's going to return in glory at the last battle called the Battle of Armageddon. And he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth. and he's going to bring us with him, and we're going to reign for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial. And I tell you, it ain't over. If you ain't dead, it ain't over for you right now. And you ain't going to die. You're never going to die. And after that 1,000 years, we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and it's beautiful. And there's never going to be no more tears, and there's never going to be no more drama, and there's never going to be no more sin, and there's never going to be anything that stains or hurts. And we will rule and reign with the Lamb, who is not dead, by the way, forever and ever and ever. And you can stand, you ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I'm in a mood. Glory to the name above all names. When I see that kind of filth and in your face delusion, it stirs up a righteous indignation in me. And I'm not mad at the people who are doing it. I'm mad at the devil behind it. Come on, I want to just give an altar call real quick. I'll say real quick, but start to move up here if you know somebody that's bound in witchcraft. Come on, step up here. Come on. You know somebody right now. Come on, stand in for your family. Come on, move. Move, 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 move. Come on, if you know somebody that's putting money before Jesus right now. Right now, it's all about their business. They have no eyes for Jesus anymore. They can't even bring their family to church because they're so caught up in that. Come on, some of you move. Listen, this is a no condemnation zone, man. Yeah. Their lives are broken. Saints, some of you that didn't come gather around them. Come on, we're all prayer leaders right now. God sees your pilgrimage. He sees where you're standing right now. Some of them are so stuck, they can't see Jesus. They can't see his work in their life. They can't see anything. They're so bound up. They're so delusional. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jasmine, where are you at? Are you still in the room? Is Jasmine go down with her kids? Sarah, sing something. Just begin to sing. On live stream, I felt the anointing on this call to come out as you stand in the gap for these loved ones. I believe today that the Holy Spirit, who loves you so much, who loves them, is going to go and start wooing them. Things that they were saying no to with regards to the Lord, they're going to find their hearts yielding. They're going to find their hearts surrendering. We're saying, you know, I don't know why I have no desire for this anymore, but I don't. God is removing this intoxication, this intoxicating desire. And this is not about alcohol, okay? Some people will go there in a legalistic way. This intoxication, the Bible talks about the wine of the Spirit. The wine of the Spirit, and how that when we drink the wine of the Spirit, all of a sudden we lose that carnal desire, and we become uninhibited. We become uninhibited. We become yielded and surrendered to the Lord. And see, what's happened is the great harlot church, this Babylon system, it has an intoxication too. And when it has its hold over an individual, they think they're free. They think they can be their true self when they're under the intoxication of this thing. They feel uninhibited and they yield themselves. They give over their desires to this demonic principality. And as I was praying this morning, the Lord said, I'm giving them new wine. I'm giving them a new wine. I'm giving them a new wine. I'm switching their drink. I'm switching their drink. Some of you just get in agreement, right? I see. You're going to see them in the Spirit. See them in the Spirit. And this cup of this filthy thing that they've been involved with is being taken from them. They're God is working on them. And I see them even pushing the drink that she has been offering to them. I see them pushing it back and it falling off the table. And I see the hand of the Lord giving them a new cup to drink from. The cup of the new covenant. The cup of his blood. The cup of the new wine. I see them drinking it. I see them becoming intoxicated with the presence of the Lord. I see them losing all inhibition. I see them becoming undignified and reckless in praise. I see them drinking in the Spirit of the living God. There is new freedom in the King. I want you to prophesy for them. Say, I see them coming out. They're coming out. They're coming out. They're coming out. They're hearing your voice, Holy Spirit. Man, I feel the glory all over me. I feel the anointing, the fire of God all over me. Lord, I release the sword of the Lord to sever every cord. Every cord that this world system has had on them right now in Jesus' name. I declare their victory by the Lamb of God. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, the one who was slain before the foundation of the earth. Lord, we see their name being written in blood in the Lamb's book of life. I see the enemy losing his grip. I see him coming by the masses in Gen Alpha, in Gen Z, in the adults of this generation, in the elders. I see him, Lord, from crowns of white to babies out of the mother's womb, from the crown to the crown, from the crown to the crown, from the crown to the crowning. I see them coming out, Lord, coming into your kingdom, coming in by your spirit, coming in by your blood, coming in. I see it, Lord, all over the earth. Hallelujah.
There is new power.
Sing that, Sarah. Sing it out.
And there is new freedom. The kingdom is here.
Sing it, you guys.
Where there is new wine, there is new power. There is new.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.